Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
On this episode of Get Judged by Byron Brown.
So I attended a school board meeting for the rights of transgender children. Things were kind of being said back and forth in the heat of the moment between myself and this large group of people.
Have you called the police, Samantha? What did the landlord do that resulted in you being scared?
The landlord just say, it's rentable. It's rentable.
I'm Byron Brown, the anti-lawyer lawyer. I'm a husband and a father. I fight for the little guy. And I'm a no-nonsense lawyer with a reputation for never losing in court. I'll judge your situation, and I'll tell you straight out if you got a case. It may not be the answer you want, but it will be the judgment you need. Time to get judged by me, Big B. Hello, everyone. This is Get Judged by Byron Brown, and I'm Byron Brown, and with me, as always, is Donya, the Duchess, taking your calls. We got another great show lined up, so let's dig into it.
Byron, I feel like I want to get up on this desk and give this next caller a standing ovation, slow clap. But I also know that she could really use your help. So, Samantha, you are on with Byron Brown, our anti-lawyer lawyer. What's your question?
Thank you for having me. I was recently in a situation where a group of folks with an opposing political view used my image, name, and personal information without my consent on the internet as some sort of smear campaign. And I was wondering if there's any sort of legal recourse.
What started the smear campaign? Why were they going after you?
So I attended a school board meeting for the rights of transgender children to be able to come out to their counselor without their parents' knowledge. I felt that this was a very good thing for children to be able to do and come out in their own terms. I was the only person really in that room that felt that way. And things were pretty heated in this school board meeting. Now, mind you, I didn't get up to speak where you would have given your name and your information. I was purely in the audience. Things were heated in the room, like I said, but as I left, I didn't think anything of it. The next day I was alerted that they had created a Facebook page and YouTube channel using my name, using my image, and then proceeded to dox me and find out my first and last name, where I worked, information about my husband, his first and last name, where he worked, and my children. Oh. And it should be noted that one of my oldest child is transgender.
And doxing, just in case people don't know, is it's taking someone's personal information and blasting it out on the internet with malicious intent. And unfortunately, that sounds what happened to you. Is that fair, Samantha?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, now the one thing that's unclear for me is you're at the school board meeting. Do you voice your opinion or how did these people know that your viewpoint was different than their viewpoint to the point that they went on this malicious rampage to attack you?
So there was obvious arguing going on in the room, even in the audience, which I was a part of. And so things were kind of being said back and forth in the heat of the moment between myself and this large group of people, sort of defending these children that were there that didn't really have a voice. So like I said, I didn't think anything of it after we'd left the meeting. I thought, well, that's, you know, it's going to be left there.
Yeah.
Where did these people find your personal information? Did they have pictures of you that they took when you were at the meeting?
So these, the school board meetings are recorded. So they were able to zoom in on the crowd, use my image. And then they even underneath that image wrote, all right, first person to find him, like, let's get him. And so it was an attack. And so people, I live in a smaller community, so that didn't take that long.
Have you called the police, Samantha?
No, I have not.
Okay, any reason why? Like, you, maybe you're scared to, maybe you don't want to. I'm sure you have reasons, but that would be the first thing I would always recommend clients do in this situation, because it sounds like it's a safety issue for you and your family.
I was a little afraid that some of the police might be on the same group.
Mm.
That's unfortunate, you know, because there are, sorry, let me back up 1 second. What state did all of this happen in?
California, okay. Surprisingly.
So California has a couple laws in the books that would help you in this situation, stalking, and then also cyber or electronic harassment. Anybody taking your personal information and blasting it out there with a malicious intent, them saying, let's go get her, and other ugly things like that. You stuck up for your son's rights, which is awesome. And I would encourage you to move forward. Identify these people yourself. You can file a lawsuit against them yourself. You can represent yourself if you want. You can take them to small claims court. I always encourage people to go to small claims court on issues like this. It's efficient. You're going to get a ruling. And it sounds like everything's in your favor. This is an area of law that's really tricky right now, right? Because if someone goes, say, maybe to a hate rally, and someone blasts out their image to everybody, not a lot of people are going to scream from the heavens about it, right? But then in situations like this, it's the same, but it's different. You know, we have an issue that is very emotional for a lot of people, and it's very controversial. And when people act like they're doing to you, they need to be held accountable. They need the law to be shoved in their face and show what they're doing wrong. And unfortunately, there's a lot of times where people don't do what you do. So you gotta clap for me, because yeah, I cannot applaud you enough for taking on these tough fights. It sounds like you have strong convictions, which I applaud you for, and I hope you move forward with it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Samantha, have you been documenting all of the stuff that you've been seeing online?
Oh, absolutely. I have screenshots of everything, and I actually did have to create a fake Facebook account because we had to go offline for a while. So I was able to look at everyone's profile that were on the thread.
You know what these people remind me of? They remind me of that bully at lunch that keeps mm-hmm. taking your lunch. Mm-hmm. And the bully is going to keep being a bully until he gets punched in the face. And in this circumstance, a punch in the face is you going to the court, you drawing up these legal documents to prevent them from stalking you and harassing you on the internet. Because as soon as they see those papers, I bet they start to change their tune, because a judge is not going to look kindly upon these people for sure. Thanks a lot for the call, Samantha. And this is my closing statement. You have a case.
That's a good statement.
You know what Samantha's dealing with, right, is the people on the other side of that table, so to speak. I'm assuming what their defense is going to be, hey, free speech. I got free speech. This is an abuse of free speech. Yeah. Like a lot of things that we see, you know, the intent behind free speech, this wasn't the intent.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, right, is the law is usually slow to catch up mm-hmm. with reality. And right now, unfortunately, you see people doing this a lot.
Yeah.
And it's impacting people, maybe not always physically, but emotionally. And you can even tell, right, we're so slow on the mental health aspect of things. It continues to be overlooked. And it's important for us as a citizenry to keep pushing these issues to the forefront. People like Samantha are awesome. I love seeing things like that, because they're passionate about something. It's really personal to her. She's willing to stand out there amongst the crowd, literally, and take the rocks, take, you know, the fruit being thrown at her, so to speak. So I applaud her. Totally. And I hope she's an example for other people. And I hope she moves forward and hold these people accountable.
I couldn't agree with you more. The entire time you're talking, I have goosebumps up and down my arms right now, because we feel the same way about stuff like this. And Samantha, just keep doing your thing. We've got your back.
Thanks. Welcome back, everybody. What do we got going, Danya?
Anyone that is renting a place will want to listen up, listen close, and hear your take on this. So we've got Ottavio on the line. Ottavio, you're on with Byron Brown, our attorney, our anti-lawyer. What's your question?
Hi, Byron. Thank you so much. So pretty much last month, me and my roommate, we sent a notice to vacate our apartment in California. And nobody answered, so we got a little concerned. And so my roommate made a joke, you know, maybe something happened. And we found out that our landlord actually passed away tragically. And, you know, he didn't have the greatest reputation, meaning, you know, before we had neighbors that when they left, you know, they were charged for several expenses. And after this gentleman passed away, you know, I decided to remain in the apartment and I took over the place. And so now I have on my own, you know, the deposit that was originally for three people. So it's a, like a quite conspicuous deposit.
I'm so sorry, Octavio, let me stop you there. Yeah. Are you still in the apartment or did you vacate the apartment?
I decided to stay because, you know, literally when we were going to leave, I was actually scared to be left alone with that landlord.
What did the landlord do that resulted in you being scared?
Well, because, you know, like, for instance, our neighbors, let's say their couch left some marks on the floor, and the former landlord took advantage of that to replace the whole floor when it was probably enough to just change. You know, it was a laminate, so it could have just replaced a little portion of
it. That's the old landlord, though, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And he was the one that was making people pay for things that maybe would be argued to be normal wear and tear. Is that fair?
Exactly. Maybe, you know, maybe there was a little bit more than that, but still, you know, they could have fixed that portion of the floor rather than replacing the whole thing. And then based on that, you know, expecting to charge, a considerable amount of money for that type of work.
Now, have you called your current landlord and had one of his representatives or himself come over to your apartment and look at the items that you have concern about?
Okay. No, I have not, you know, because everything is so recent.
Right.
And, you know, I've been in this apartment for 4 years now.
Normally, a lot of landlords and not all landlords are the best landlords, but usually they do some sort of inspection. Did you do something like that when you moved in?
Well, of course we did. And we actually had some complaints because the place was not, you know, presented super nice. Like, it was a little dirty. And, you know, the landlord used to say, it's rentable. So it was a little silly.
Do you plan on leaving the apartment anytime soon?
Probably within a year.
Okay.
So is this something that you have future plans of moving out, and so you're just getting some anxiety, some concern about when that time comes, if you're going to get your deposit back in full and or if you're going to get back partially based upon some of the issues that you've articulated already. Is that fair? Yeah.
Because you see, you know, it's a three bedroom, three bathrooms, and we're three people. And now I'm literally having the whole, you know, the whole place on my name. And I paid off all my former friends. They are still my friends, but my former roommates, because they moved out.
So basically, Octavio, you don't want to go down for the other two people that used to live there. Okay, I got it now.
Exactly.
What do you think about this, Byron?
One more question. Did any of your past roommates, is there money in the deposit, or did you give the landlord at the beginning when you moved in all of your money for the deposit?
You know, we originally, me and my former, you know, roommates, we paid each a third, and then I paid them their quota. So I now have the whole thing on my name.
So California's law is really clear on this, okay?
Okay.
After the time that you move out, your landlord has 21 days to give you your deposit back. If they think that they need to deduct anything off of that deposit, then they need to provide you with receipts and itemized statements detailing why they believe that they needed to take money out of your deposit. Now, this is the other thing. When you talk about normal wear and tear, normal wear and tear, it's very subjective to some, but obviously tracks on carpet, you know, artificial scratches on a floor that can be buffed out, things of that nature, those are normal wear and tear, and your landlord shouldn't deduct anything from it, from your deposit for those issues. But when you hang things on the wall and you remove them, things like that, I would encourage you to hire a handyman and be responsible yourself to get those fixed, because then you can control how much the cost is. And then I would do your inspection with the landlord. I would take pictures of everything, even before the landlord comes in to do the inspection. Maybe take a video and walk through and show everything and be more inclusive than under-inclusive. Anything. I want every inch of that apartment to be on video. So then at the time, if this landlord wants to be a goof, You're going to have video evidence of everything you've done. Also, keep the receipts from the handyman you get to come and patch up those holes and the other little issues. You might find that that's a very reasonable approach as from a cost standpoint to get it fixed. But I really appreciate your call, Ottavio. There's a lot of people out there in similar situation to you. So I hope that you get it taken care of properly and that landlord doesn't take advantage of you.
Yeah. Of course. Thank you so much.
Go get your money.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, hopefully he gets his money.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, your advice that you gave him was really great advice, solid advice. My husband and I, we've rented for quite a few years in different states. And one of the biggest things, my husband is very much a handyman. So he will go and buy the spackle and like patch up the little holes from hanging stuff from my decorative streak. And you just fix the little things that you can so you don't have to worry about your deposit being taken from you.
Yeah, see, every time my wife and I would rent a place, we were always just so eager to get into it that we wouldn't take pictures. So I got to take like some of my own advice there. But that's the best way for anybody. You document, document, document any legal issue. It's going to come down to what evidence you have. So the more that you can document things, the better the position you're going to find yourself in 100% of the time.
100% of the time. Take pictures, people.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.